Poor Lee Red.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this. What?
I didn't realise that you were waiting for me.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to be ready. Because as soon as I do my, hello, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of Poor Lee Red, you've got to come up with something quick.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, what's a quick thing?
Lightning.
Yeah, or a scared rabbit.
Yeah. One of those is Harry Potter themed.
Is there any rabbits in Harry Potter? Rampant ones.
Only in our version.
Oh, fucking a Wizarding Vibrator is... there's no way it's not one archaic, two slightly violent.
I mean, I'm sure there's just a vibrate spell you can make your wand do.
Oh my god, yeah. Fucking hell. Maybe tip. You can just sort of like conjure like a disembodied hand.
Oh, and just command it to do.
Yeah, no, the best part is you don't have to command it. It knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
You just lay back, put on your sleeping mask.
Really advanced wizards can get two hands at a time. One in the front, one in the back.
Oh, God. Sometimes they get carried away. You just end up a frothy mess. But... And when does she die? Oh, Barbara, two hands. Many much more learned wizards have run afoul of that one. welcome back to Poorly Read.
Yeah, that's the name of our podcast. Yeah.
What book are we doing, Tom?
Harry Potter and the Goblin. No, fucking hell. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, and I can't with a song.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Are you saying Order of the Phoenix with a new melody or same melody with different words?
Same melody, different words.
Right.
I can't really remember the melody from the last one, but... Okay. Order of the Phoenix is hot like a flame. You put it in the bag. You gotta fight through the pain. There we go.
There
Crash
we go.
Bag and wallet.
The official jingle for this week's episode. Done.
Oh god, how did you feel about these chapters?
Like we're gonna struggle to get material out of them.
Yes. Like the end of a roll of fabric, we're gonna struggle to get material out of it.
Yes. No, I mean it's like we've just had three chapters that take place almost entirely in one house. Now we've got three chapters that take place entirely in another house.
Yeah.
This house is slightly more...
It's very spooky.
It's a very spooky house.
I feel like this is the kind of house I would like.
Yeah?
Yeah. Other than like the house elf heads, I actually do quite like it.
Yeah, and the house elf itself.
Yeah, creature.
Who is an arsehole.
He is an arsehole, and he has one too. There's a reason why he's so foul-tempered all the time, Tom.
Why he walks with such a strange gait.
Like Ariana Grande, he is walking side to side. Right, so chapter 4.
Number 12, Grimmauld Place.
Yeah, baby.
Moody sets fire to the piece of parchment.
It's a bit aggressive.
That he had shown Harry. And you were right at the end of last episode when we were discussing the piece of paper that says the Order of the Phoenix can be found at number 12 Grimmauld Place, and you were like, I bet it's going to be explained in like the next chapter.
Oh yeah.
It is.
I can't remember who says what. Does Moody just
so
say?
So it turns out it happens. So at this point, Moody just sets fire to the piece of paper and that's all we know.
Yeah.
Still within these three chapters that we're going to talk about, Harry gets told that Dumbledore is the secret keeper for this place. And so only Dumbledore personally telling people where it is can reveal it. And so Dumbledore wrote that note for Moody to give to Harry. So then Moody can destroy it and like Dumbledore.
So I wonder what would happen if Moody tried to write down the address. Do you think his hand would just start like sliding off the edge of the paper like every time?
I think he'd be able to write the words. They just wouldn't mean anything magically. Someone would read it and then still just look at number 11 and number 13 and not see anything else.
But you can't speak the secret. So then why? So maybe writing it, I would imagine it would work in the same way that you can't write it down either.
Oh, so you can't. Interesting. I had thought that you could have the information. You can know the physical location of it. You just can't access it.
I don't think it works like that.
No,
I think you physically can't say. Or you can't impart the information, yeah. I think.
Huh.
We don't really get a representation of it, so that's how I always assumed it would be.
Yeah, I don't know. If Moody tried to write it, it would just write it and then look down and he's actually written... I don't know.
Harry opens it and it just says, "Your parents are dead." And he's like, "Happy birthday, boy." Yeah. "Yeah, I baked you a cake." "Ow, what's that?" "It's full of glass." "Ah." Harry's like, "Why are you doing this?"
"You need to be on the lookout always, boy.
Constant vigilance." Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, so out of nowhere, the fucking house appears.
Out of nowhere.
So I couldn't really decide how it appears in the description.
Yeah, it's it just says like it's as if the house bubbled up in between numbers 11 and 13 or
yeah, so
whatever.
Is it just sort of like you blink and it's there? Because in the movie it proper like slides.
Yeah,
out.
The houses either side like yeah. slide apart, leaving a gap for it to sort of emerge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's one of those things where like it's magic and you don't really...
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I would prefer it if it was like an empty lot, and then when you read the spell, it was there, rather than it appeared sandwiched between two houses in an impossible way.
Or if the house was still there, but it was like abandoned and dilapidated.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So like if you walked into it without knowing the secret, you'd walk into just an abandoned house.
You're just walking around an abandoned house,
so
it's
almost like an alternate reality.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Mm. That's how I think I prefer it. That's why I think JK should retroactively change it.
Yeah.
Adia and JK.
Oh, we've got a long list to send her now. I hope she's got plenty of space in her lady envelope.
Ew. Mom. Right. So Harry gets re-illusioned when they enter the house. And he says he feels something hot and sticky trickling down his back. And then he's like, "Just stand still, boy, and then I'll reverse the spell."
Yeah, and then Mrs. Weasley emerges.
Yeah, Molly appears and she's like, "Yeah, you can't stay down here, sir.
Where says, "Finally, you've learned to address me properly."
"You finally learned your station. Well done." "Now, where's my monocle?" She says, "Look, we're having a meeting, but go upstairs. The others are waiting for you up there."
Yeah, and it's being all like hush, hush and quiet.
Yeah. Because everyone's being super like quiet when they're like, super quiet, in the corridor.
Yeah. Going, like, psh, 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 psh. My next note says, "House is spooky."
Yeah, it is. Spooky scary.
Spooky scary.
He goes upstairs and he sees all dead house elf heads, like, lining the walls.
Yeah, like, mounted on the walls, like, yeah. Hunting trophies.
It's just like, God.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Why would you do that?
That would be
the equivalent, right, of, like, a plantation owner beheading their slaves and keeping the heads of their slaves on their wall.
Oh, I bet some of them did that.
Oh, do you think so?
Actually, I don't know. They're probably worth less than, like, hunting trophies to them, weren't they?
Yeah. Like, that would be, like, a whole new level of fucking villainy.
Mm.
Jesus Christ. Well, that took a sour turn, didn't it?
Yes, anyway. Back to the comedy podcast.
As Harry gets in the room, and fucking all he sees is a big bush coming towards him. And Hermione's like, "Geronimo!"
Harry gets engulfed.
He lights a candle. He's like, "Wow, it's so cavernous." No, Hermione just comes out of nowhere and gives him a hug.
Yeah.
And she's been like, "Oh, Harry, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so sorry we couldn't write. I bet you're mad." "Yes, but we couldn't because of this, blah, blah, blah." And Ron's like, "Give him a minute to breathe, Hermione."
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's it is all that they're all like, we wanted to tell you what was going on, but Dumbledore didn't want us to tell you. Maybe he thought that you'd be safer that way. Mm. And basically we have like a whole sequence of Harry being super fucking pissy.
Yeah, I put stroppy. I thought I haven't used that word in about 20 years.
He is very stroppy.
My dad used to say I was that a lot.
I'm shocked.
And if I pouted too much, he would tell me to fix my face. He was like, fix your face. And I'd be like, and I'd try and force a smile. But he'd be like, good.
I don't let it break again.
Harry gets so fucking on one. It's the kind of thing I'm amazed it didn't escalate into an actual fight.
Ron and Hermione dealt with it really well, I think.
Really? You say well, I say ridiculously submissive.
Yeah, but why create an argument where there doesn't need to be one?
For me, I was amazed that they didn't say, hold on, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Like, they're so apologetic. They're like, Harry, honestly. And I would have been like, excuse me, mate. Like,
do you want to fuck off?
Yeah. They let him get away with acting like a twerp.
A twerp?
This.
Wow. There's another word. He's a stroppy twerp.
Yeah, and I just thought that's not being a good friend, sort of letting his behaviour go unchecked.
Mm.
And to, like, they didn't have to get angry in response, like how I maybe would have, but they shouldn't have let him, you know.
Yeah, I do know what you mean, actually. I think I did think as well, like, when Harry was kicking off at them, I remember feeling a little bit like, fuck off, mate.
Yeah.
It's not our fault, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, you know.
Check yourself.
Yeah. I mean, like, you've said it to me in the past. Yeah, then they say that Dumbledore was fucking angry at Mundungus for leaving his watch over Harry.
Yeah.
Not for leaving his watch at Dumbledore's apartment. His watch. My fucking wife almost saw Mundungus. I'd hide it in my rectum. And this watch belonged to your dad.
He kept it in his ass. Oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, and then do Fred and George appear?
Yes.
At that point?
They show him the extendable ears.
Yeah.
But then Ginny arrives and tells him that they're not going to work because they've put a
imperturbable charm
on the door.
And she's been chucking dung bombs at it. Why has everyone got fucking dung bombs?
Yeah, what is the deal with dung bombs? Yeah.
Like, she might as well have said, yeah, I've been chucking bags of shit at the door.
I was crouched in a corner, just doing little poops in my hand.
Flicking nuggets of shit at the door.
Yeah.
And they kept rebounding. Tonks said it's the easiest way to check.
Then later, Mrs. Weasley comes in and is like, why are there little pellets of shit all over the floor?
I haven't had shit thrown at my door since we lived next to that neo-Nazi. Yeah.
Not since Arthur went through his experimental phase.
And then Harry brings up Percy for some reason. Why does he bring up Percy?
They're talking about which members of their family are here, I think.
Oh, and he's like, oh, what about Percy?
Yeah, Bill's around.
Charlie's been eaten by a dragon.
Fleur Delacour's got a job at Gringotts to improve her English, and Bill's been showing her his ropes.
Yeah.
And then,
this
yeah.
This will put the alphabet in. Oh, that's gross.
I don't even know what you said.
Oh, I said this will put the alphabet in your... I don't know. I imagine that his penis contained the alphabet. And when he put his penis in her mouth, she got the alphabet. And now she can speak perfect English.
Oh, I see.
Ah, oh, sorry. There are too many abstract elements to that joke.
I was thinking, where's the alphabet come from?
I quite like that as a euphemism, though.
We'll teach you the alphabet.
Yeah. Oh, that's gross.
Just sing me your ABCs after this.
Oh, God. Fucking hell. Yeah. And Percy. So Percy got offered a promotion at work when he came home and told his dad.
Yeah, the promotion to be like a junior assistant to the minister or something, yeah, in Fudge's own office. Yeah, he came home and told his dad, and his dad wasn't happy. His dad thinks he just wants him close because he knows that the Weasleys are like sympathetic to Dumbledore, yeah, and so he wants Percy to be like in with,
yeah,
that.
Sort of like an unconscious spy.
Yeah, a sleeper agent.
Yeah, and Percy's like, no, that's not true. It's, yeah, because Percy's literally just came out of school, and it's a really high job for a graduate to have got, so that's why it's a bit suspect.
Yeah,
which is like, is it suspect because he got the job as Crouch's assistant, and Crouch was pretty high up.
Yeah,
so really him getting the Fudge job doesn't seem like an you just grow up, Tom.
It's perfectly natural for him to get the Fudge job. You shouldn't shy away from those desires.
Hand job, blow job, fudge job. There we go. Yeah, it seems like a sort of like a reasonable next step to me anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, Percy's like, do you know what, Dad? You're just saying that because you ain't got any fucking ambition. And the only reason we're still poor is because you ain't fucking tried to even better yourself at all at work.
Yeah.
Molly started crying, his dad started shouting, and Percy packed his bags that night and fucked off.
Yes, he did.
Where's he living now then? Do you think he's living under Fudge's bed?
Fudge jobs on tap.
There is no mattress, he just puts his lips through the slats, I guess.
Oh, God. He's just carved a glory hole in the bottom, like in his bed.
And Fudge's wife is just laying there like, I wish I could get out of this. Yeah.
And then my next note is, I know Harry is annoyed, but he's being a real dick.
Yeah, because doesn't he start this whole like tirade that ends in, Voldemort killed my parents?
Yeah, and it's like, yes, we know,
yeah,
Harry.
We know, Harry. You talk about it constantly. Yeah, yeah. Every fucking Christmas, you make me and Ron reenact. Yeah.
Yeah, you get into that crib.
I mean, it was funny at first. We all had a laugh, but now, Harry.
Yeah, now it's just...
We don't get why you're playing with yourself while we did.
Well, I want it to be historically accurate.
Yeah, I put Harry has another epi about how we didn't ask for this. And it's like, yeah, oh, we get it. This is when he needs a strong father figure to tell him to actually like calm
shut the fuck
down.
Up,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
Sirius is kind of the closest thing he's got, I suppose.
Yeah, but I feel like Sirius went to Azkaban so young, I feel like he hasn't matured a great deal, so I reckon he maybe wouldn't assume that role in this scenario, because I don't think he ever does tell Harry off.
No,
does he? I can't think of a time.
No, he doesn't really. He instructs him occasionally, you know, stay in the house, don't do anything stupid or,
yes,
or whatever,
go deeper.
Call that a fudge job.
What's deeper than a fudge job? I guess like a trifle job. So many layers.
When you hit the chocolate center.
When you hear that biscuity bottom, yeah, that's when you know you've gone far enough.
When you hit the soggy bottom.
Gotta get through the cream first, Harry.
The cream first, then the jelly and the fruit.
And the custard.
We're just talking about trifle now, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we're making it sound so rude. We open the door and they're just eating a trifle at the table. Like,
what did you think we're doing? We literally told you all the ingredients.
Yes. Yes. Plunge that spoon deeper, Harry. Yes, yes. Yeah. The soggy bottom. Yes, boy. We're just watching it like...
Now let's go upstairs and fuck.
Woo! Yeah, I can't even remember what we were talking about. Sirius don't do shit and Harry needs to shut up. There we
yeah,
go.
That's pretty much it.
And
yeah.
Mrs. Weasley fucking comes in, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Mrs. Weasley appears and ushers everyone down for dinner.
Yeah, they see a group of wizards emerge, looking over the banister. They see a group of wizards, including Snape, leaving.
Ah, yeah.
Someone mentions, like, Snape never eats here, thank God. Yeah, so we know Snape's involved.
In the order.
In the order.
Of the Fifi. Yeah, then Mrs. Weasley comes up, right? And then she's like, come, guys, I've made you dinner.
Yes.
Extra gravy tonight.
And trifle for dessert. And then they're all trying to be quiet, and Harry doesn't quite know why yet. And then Tonks trips over an umbrella stand. And the
She's
curtains.
Like, oh, sorry about that. I can't do the accent. Can you do the accent?
Then Tonks trips over an umbrella stand.
That ain't bad.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, sorry. Oh, I'm so fucking clumsy.
By the way, you haven't been doing Hermione voice.
Oh, well, I don't. Have I said anything that she said yet?
No. Next time she speaks, you're doing it.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then fucking hell, we hear like a...
All of a sudden, there's a peacock. And Sirius runs out and says, I see you've met my mother.
Oh, God. No, the fucking... Harry passed a pair of curtains earlier that he thought was in front of a door, but it turns out those curtains were in front of a painting. The curtains flew open, but on the painting is of this old woman who is screaming bile, and she wakes up all the other paintings along the corridor who also start screaming.
Yes.
She's like, filth, mudbloods,
traitors,
bastards, blizzards everywhere. And then Sirius appears, and then he's like, shut up, you old crow. And she's like, you! Yeah, soil of my loins or whatever.
Soil of my loins.
And then he closes the curtains. Then he's like, huh, I see you met my mother.
Chapter end.
And chapter 5, innit?
Yeah, the titular chapter.
Yeah, the Order of the Fifi. I don't know why it tickles me so much.
Yes.
Yeah, Sirius explains about the portrait and that this is his house.
Yeah.
Whose house? His house.
They go into the kitchen and start. Molly starts making food and stuff.
Yeah.
Sirius.
Starts making gravy. She just plonks herself on top of the stove.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I've got my funnel, I've got my special little knobbly wand.
George, quick, the gravy boat. Have a spare one on standby just in case.
Yes, I'm expecting an extra large yield tonight.
That meeting was really something.
I waxed for the occasion. Oh, how considerate, Molly.
Oh, nice. We don't have to wring out the curtains.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I do like, you know, your juice with some of the bits in, but not today, not today.
Oh, God.
Said Fred.
god.
Right. Oh god, let's move
right,
on
while
quickly.
We're talking through this, you have to constantly picture that Molly's just sitting on the stove, like waggling her feet, sort of like humming to herself.
Just holding a gravy boat between her legs.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's so gross.
I've been told that that's like the most like egregious part of our podcast is the gravy bit.
I have also been told that.
It's my favourite bit. Oh, God.
Well, we have to use it for merch of some kind.
Yeah. We should buy like fucking a truck full of Bisto, take off the label, and just wrap it in Molly's gravy label. Just resell it, man.
Just fully like rebrand the Oxo Tower.
Fucking hell yeah.
That'd be some publicity, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just get a big inflatable Molly, stick it on top. Just fucking have brown water running down it. Be like, yes, bro, this is poorly rained.
We'd probably do some jail time, but it might
so
be worth it.
So why they let people have computers in jail now?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, as long as we've got a computer and a microphone. And cells near each other, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we could be... I think you get let out of your cell sometimes.
That's true. We could go find a lovely table in the corner somewhere.
Yeah.
We could have a podcast house. We could have, like, celebrity guests. Fucking Arthur and Bill are having a little chin wag in the corner. And when they see Harry, they start putting their things away. And by things, I meant parchment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's loads of shit still left out from the meeting.
Yeah, like blueprints.
Yeah, and Molly's calling over from the corner. All this stuff should be cleared away after meetings.
Yes. And Harry sees what looks like the layout of a building on one of them, which I guess is the ministry.
I guess so.
And then Bill, like, stands up and, like, Ibanescos it all and it vanishes. There's some rags in the corner and it turns out it's Mundungus.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, why is Mundungus even... Why have they even got him here? He's such an unreliable douchebag. But then they do explain, like,
yeah,
he's good to have to be in touch with, like, the criminal underworld kind of thing, because he basically is one of the crooks and he hears things that we don't and can find things out that we just couldn't because we're not in touch with that world.
But, like, is it that worth it?
To have someone who's just that unreliable?
Yeah, I can't think of any, like, choice information he got to them. And he actually made things harder for them by the end of the book series because he fucking stole the locket.
Yeah, exactly.
So if he wasn't there at all, it would have been better for everyone, actually.
Yeah. But I get the inclination to want to have someone in touch with that world.
Yeah, he didn't need to be part of the Order, though. He could have just been an informant, you know?
Yeah.
That they, like, when they wanted to know information, they just went and gave him a bit of gold and then he spilled the beans and that was it. You know?
I feel like Mundungus would have probably been happier with that.
Yeah. Yeah, Dumbledore, why would you get him of all people? Oh, fucking Dumbledore. I swear to God, that man. I just can't. Yeah, so Sirius says how he would have, like, relished a Dementor attack that Harry had to experience because he's been stuck inside for a month and he wants to have adventure.
Yeah, and Sirius just comes out with, I thought you'd, he's like, you're keeping very quiet. I thought you'd want to ask all about Voldemort. Just, like, throws that grenade out into the room.
Hold on, before that, someone, the twins try and do magic. And they accidentally, they almost spear, like, Sirius's hand with a knife.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Molly's like, oh, just because you're of age, you don't need to do magic. We didn't have this trouble with the others, with Bill and Charlie and Percy. And everyone record goes, scratch. Like, record scratch. Yeah. And then Molly, like, jumps off the stone. She runs around the table, just, like, dripping gravy. Just shaking her hands above her head. And I was like, Molly, Molly! And she's like,
Well, he holds just like chasing her with the gravy boat. Yeah.
No, after she says Percy, there's a record scratch. And then I think someone says, let's eat. And then they just carry on with the dinner. And then Sirius is like, yeah, Harry, I'm surprised you hadn't asked about Voldemort. And then there's another record scratch.
Yeah, and Sirius is clearly, like, angling to try to want to tell Harry
DJ
things.
DJ in the corner's like, oh, God, I've got to be doing this all night. Yeah.
Are you guys going to be dropping these bombs for much longer? Because I've got a whole set I need to get through.
When, seriously, like, I'm surprised you haven't asked about Voldemort. What do you want to know? And then Molly's like, no, he's too young to know about this. And Sirius is like, oh, he's faced more than what half the Order have and blah, blah, blah. And then Molly's like, yeah, we're not saying he hasn't, but there's a reason why Dumbledore doesn't want him to know like everything, you know? Or there must be a reason why Dumbledore doesn't want him to know
everything. Yeah, where she says pointedly, we've been told explicitly not to tell him more than he needs to know.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Sirius is like, yeah, I'm not going to tell him more than he needs to know, but he has the right to know something.
Yeah, and then they argue about that, and then Lupin's like, look, he should at least know some of the facts.
Yeah.
And then Molly
tries to send all of the others, including Fred and George, out of the room.
Yeah.
And gets told to fuck off, basically.
Yeah, until like it like whittles down until only Ginny's the only one who gets sent upstairs.
Yeah, he gets dragged upstairs kicking and screaming.
But yeah, like Sirius at one point, he goes, well, look, he's not your son. And then she's like, oh, he's as good as. Who else has he got? And then Sirius is like, me! And she's like, yeah, well, fat lot of good you've been fucking stuck in Azkaban all his life. And Sirius is like, you fucking what?
Fucking get down off that stove and say that to my face.
Sirius rolls up his sleeves, puts on his kitchen gloves. He's like, come. Oh, God, when they get into a wrestling match. Oh, I just had a nice awful visual and I hate myself for it.
Oh, go on then.
I just imagine her finisher move would be she just sort of like does like a running jump and like lands on his face. And obviously she engulfs him, obviously. But her gravy is what like drowns him in the end. But it's got like an like acidic burn. So when like she jumps off, we've just got like a molten serious face. And he's just, she's like, well, that's what happens when you fuck with Molly Weasley. Oh, God, oh, that my woman.
God, we're really going in hard on this gravy thing this episode.
Oh, shit, son.
So Harry begins his questions. What's Voldemort doing?
Yeah, he's like, who is your daddy and what does he do? yeah, and they don't know.
No. Why has he stopped killing people?
We don't know.
Because you messed up his comeback.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you messed up his comeback tour.
Yeah. By surviving and telling Dumbledore straight away, basically, because he was going
to... Yeah, he wanted to operate in secret.
Mm.
But you balls that up for him.
Yeah.
Which is good. So thank you for that, Harry.
Yes.
You played such an important part, you did.
Oh, he's such a big, brave boy.
Shame about Cedric, though. and then...
Yeah, I hope you haven't been obsessing over that too. I haven't any dreams or anything.
I mean, I'm not saying it was your fault, Harry, but if you just done the right thing and picked up the cup yourself, Cedric might still be alive, mate.
Yeah, if you hadn't insisted.
But, bonus points, you did get an Asian girlfriend, so...
You certainly know how to eliminate the competition, don't you, Harry?
Then Sirius is like, yes, we think that he's looking for a weapon. Something he didn't have last time.
Yes. Yeah, Harry's like, what does he need apart from his army? Stuff he can only get from stealth, like a weapon, something he didn't have last time. And Molly's like, that's enough!
Yeah, he's just a boy, Sirius! And Sirius is like... He just pulls out a gun and shoots. So it's like, fucking hell.
Well, we're fucking around with these wands.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I mean, I was going to do it myself. Yeah, and then Harry goes upstairs.
And that's the end of chapter 5.
Chapter 6, the noble, the most ancient house of black.
Yes.
Yeah.
They get taken upstairs.
They do, Tom.
Mm.
And they have secret chats in their rooms. It's all dark.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, ouch, that's my foot.
Yeah, Fred and George appear.
Yeah, they literally appear on fucking Ron's lap.
Yeah.
And it's like, I listened to that and I was like, that's too blatant for me to try and make a joke out of, I feel. So I'll let that one go.
Yeah, all right. Let's both agree.
To not make a joke, the fact that the twins both apparated onto Ron's lap.
Onto Ron's lap.
Yes.
They stand up and continue their conversation.
They do. Ron's like, I would stand up, but I need a minute.
Oh, you just couldn't help yourself, could you?
Yeah, next day they wake up.
Yeah.
As you tend to do.
Yes.
Unless you don't.
Mm. Oh.
Oh, Cedric. there is a portrait in Harry's room, by the way, which got no one in it. But when Harry went to bed that night, he could hear it snoring.
Do we know anything about that? Is that important?
Yeah, that's a portrait of Phineas Nigelus Lawson.
I was going to say Lawson as well.
And she's like, yes, and then you break the egg and then you fist that dough.
Don't forget the gravy.
Ew. Yeah, the next day they have to clean up the house.
Yeah, they're spraying doxies. They're all hidden in the curtains or whatever. And Harry takes the opportunity to have a covert conversation with the twins about their joke shop.
Yeah, because they've doxied doxy. There we go.
There you go.
Fuck it out.
Yeah, and they've pocketed it. Yeah. Pocketed it.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, because they want to experiment with doxy venom in their Skyving snack boxes. And Harry's like, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's these things that will help you get out of lessons. Yeah, we've got one that's the like nosebleed nougat. Got the puking pastel, and we've got the morning after pill. Solve all your problems, Harry.
Yes.
Because you gave us the money, Harry, you get a batch for free. It's like, oh, thank you. I have got an Asian girlfriend now.
Someone rings the doorbell.
It's Kingsley. And Mrs. Black goes off. And then that's when Harry has like the conversation with the twins about their amazing inventions. Also, just because of the stupid joke we made, we didn't actually like the sniping snack boxes are a fucking dynamite idea.
Yeah, so it's got like the two parts, the orange puking pastel, which like makes you throw up, and then the purple one, which makes you stop. But you can't. The trouble they're having is that you can't swallow the purple one while you're throwing up.
Yeah.
So they need to think of a workaround.
Yeah, I love there's the incident with the nosebleed nougat later on in the book, which is...
Is there?
Yeah. Do you want me to spoil it for
you? I mean, I don't know. I can't tell if this is something filthy you're making up.
No! God, Tom, you and every policeman I've ever met have said that to me. No, they're doing Quidditch practice, and I think one of the team members gets hit by a blood jar. She gets a nosebleed. And so the twins try and give her a bit of the end of one of the thingies to make her stop. But then Angelina's talking to Harry, and then they turn around, and whoever the girl is, I think it might be Katie or something like that, as she goes, I don't know what's happened, I feel like it's gotten worse. And like blood is like gushing down her front, and the twins are like, oh shit, we gave her the wrong end. So they like try to escort her up to the hospital wing, and it's like, fucking hell, that's horrendous. And because they haven't perfected it yet, so it's like an uncontrollable stem of blood is just like, ugh.
Pretty irresponsible, really.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, all joking aside.
Anyway, fuck me sideways and call me Minerva.
Hey.
Ah, we like callbacks, don't we? So the twins are doing that through mail order because they're looking for premises with their...
The business operating through mail order.
Yeah.
Molly eventually disappears to go and scream at Mundungus.
Yeah.
Where for bringing stolen goods in. And Creature slips into the room before Ron can fully close the door.
And he's acting like he can't see them, but he's talking to himself out loud.
Mudbloods, blood traitors, filth and scum in their house. What would Mistress say?
And they're like, you fucking what, Creature? He's like, nothing. I am a service of my benevolent masters, and you bunch of fucking cunts, so you'll die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, creature is trying to just sort of like take things from around the house.
Yeah.
To stop Sirius and like hide them in to stop Sirius throwing them out.
Yeah.
And Scrooge's like, you can't throw the tapestry. It's been in our family for 9 generations. And yeah. Sirius is basically like, fuck off, mate. If I can get it off the wall, then I will throw it out.
Yeah, I'll set fire to it. And then you. I'll see which burns faster.
I'll wrap it around you and then set fire to it.
Yeah. Like a lovely Roman candle. Yeah. Yeah, and then so they have like a little look at the black tapestry and Sirius is like, yeah, I used to be on here, but I got blasted off.
Yes.
And then I got removed.
And then they took me off the tapestry.
Standard. Yeah, and then he sort of gives Harry like the lowdown on his family tree. He says that he hated being part of the family and that his brother joined the Death Eaters.
Yep.
And his mum and dad were really proud of the brother at first. When they sort of realised what Voldemort was prepared to do to get power, they sort of got a bit cold feet and tried to distance themselves from like being supporters of the Dark Lord. Which I thought was, because I imagine that's what a lot of sort of supporters of far right parties or movements are like.
Yeah.
They're kind of in favour of their kind of ideology at first. And then when they see like...
Literally genocide. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And so I thought it was just a nice thing to put in the story there.
Yeah, to show that there's some nuance to the range of like dark wizards that there are. They're not all just either like fighting Voldemort or want to kill everyone.
So I wonder what like the actual tipping point was for the Black family.
Yeah.
Like at what point were they like, I'm not on board with this. Maybe it was like when they actually started like killing muggles.
Yeah.
They were like, look, this is a bit much. Like
look.
Boop 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 look Vold.
Vold, if I call you Vold.
Look, big V. Like Sirius says that his brother was actually ended up getting killed by Voldemort himself.
Yeah, because he
defected.
Yeah. And you don't just leave the service of Lord Voldemort.
Yes.
Yeah, and Harry sees the Malfoys and the Lestranges, and then we get the whole, yeah, well, you know, all pure blood families are pretty much interconnected somehow, because if you insist on only breeding with pure blood families, there's not many of us left.
Right, so, yeah, because Tonks, his mother, is Andromeda, and Andromeda, Narcissa, who is Lucius's wife, and Bellatrix Lestrange are all Sirius's cousins.
Yes.
Andromeda is the only one he liked. The other two are total bitches.
And Andromeda's dead, right?
No.
No?
No, she's...
Do we ever meet her?
Yeah.
Huh.
She's like, all right.
All right, Doc.
Yeah, she's in book 7.
Is she?
Yeah. She's one of the hideouts for the Order.
Ooh.
I think they get killed in the end, though. Or roughed up. I think one of her parents dies.
Well, she certainly does.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, the character in the book pissed me off more than the film portrayal of her, I gotta be honest.
They both just are a scourge on my existence. I think it's
something to do with the way Stephen Fry voices her as well. It just makes me think,
maybe.
Oh, I wish she would fuck off. Because I don't remember feeling anything about her. I remember thinking she was quite a nice little quirky addition to the team.
It's
when
the same
I was reading
kind of
the
thing
books.
Like when I was reading the books, Luna was my favourite character. And when Stephen Fry reads her, she pisses me off quite a lot.
Because
he has this weird way of voicing her, which doesn't have any of the charm that Luna has. So he goes to Harry, he's like, look, I've asked Dumbledore if I can escort you to the Ministry tomorrow, if you're hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Is it for tomorrow? Yeah, it is tomorrow.
For whatever. Not quite. It's in a few days, because in a minute we get a little montage of 3 days passing with they're cleaning the house.
Yeah. What would be the montage music for that?
That's your wheelhouse, I don't know.
What is that song? Be like, I'm walking on sunshine. I'm walking on sunshine. They're all like throwing rags at each other, like smiling. Yeah. We have like a water gun fight. Like throw like buckets of water, and then Molly throws a bucket of gravy. Yeah. They're like, ah! Oh, they're like bandage up creature, just passing around like a mummy. So they're throwing him back and forth next and they drop him down the stairs. And they're all like, oh, da, 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 da. Oh, God. When it all finishes, and then just collapsing on the sofa, like, while laughing heartily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that really painted a picture.
Anyway. So, they clean out all the shit, and one of the things they clean out is a locket they can't open, and that's Voldemort's Horcrux. Yeah, creature's being a shit again. I mean, Sirius threatens creature with clothes.
Yeah, and he's all like, no, you won't send me away from here. Yes, I know
I'm the only
too
one
much.
Who knows how to make trifle the way you like it. So he's like, shh.
I know how to make the bottom soggy.
Me and my nimble fingers. And Harry's like, I've got nimble fingers too.
Put their fingers together and just go.
Just a quick question. Yeah. Why didn't they just do what we keep on encouraging people to do with all house elves and just kill creature? Because he does literally know too much.
Yeah.
It's such a risk. It's such a liability.
I suppose that is the difference between the good and evil side of the fight, isn't it? The good guys don't just kill people when they become useless. Otherwise, they're not good guys anymore.
I feel like they should have at least obliviated him every day.
Yeah.
If they obliviated him to the point where he was just a fucking mushy husk of a being. I just reeled him in like a fucking like a weird like drip and like one eye. They're like, this is what happens when curses. Ain't gonna be polishing any pans anytime soon.
Ain't gonna be making any more trifle, I tell you that.
God, they just sit in front of the window. But they keep on forgetting to open the curtain. Oh, fucking hell, creature. I'm so sorry. That death would be a kind of stumble. I was like, no, no. This is what distinguishes us from the bad guys.
So yeah, it's the evening before Harry's hearing, and it comes up that Dumbledore has said he doesn't think it's a good idea for Sirius to go with him. Yeah. And Molly agrees, and it said, and Harry says, well, how was Dumbledore? When did he say that? They said, well, he came by last night when you were asleep. And the fact that Dumbledore's been around in the house while Harry's been here and hasn't come and spoken to him or seen him makes Harry even more pissed off.
Understandably, I think. Dumbledore literally should have just sent Harry a letter saying, look, Harry, I get a feeling that the connection between you and Voldemort might get stronger now that he's back. And I get a feeling that it might not be a good idea for me to be around you while I suspect this might be the case. So don't take it personally. It's for all of our own safety.
Yeah, because he knows what a hothead Harry is.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's likely to go and to get really wound up if he doesn't know anything and try and take matters into his own hands, as he has done. Yeah. Every year.
Right. It's like, why did he think it was a good idea just to blank Harry all fucking year? What did he think would happen?
Yeah,
that's like, oh my god, it's like he like ghosts Harry and he's like amazed that Harry gets mad about it.
Yeah,
so I would be, that's the one aspect of Harry's behavior that I can get on board with. I would be exactly the same
if Dumbledore, yeah, about the way Dumbledore acts. Yeah,
like, oh, just so irresponsible, that man. Fucking, I am so. Oh, anyway, Molly's like, yeah, Arthur's going to take you into work with him on the ministry hearing day. And buy him your best clothes and please try and wash your hair because you look a fucking stain.
You're still covered in gravy from the last couple of days.
Yeah. I was like, oh, but it gets sweeter the longer you leave it. Oh. And Molly's like, I know.
God.
And I was like, I know.
Oh, God, just fucking chewing it down.
Yeah. Cutting slices of gravy.
Oh.
Put this on your bread. Good wartime snack here. Fortified with vitamin D. There you go.
And that's it then, isn't it?
Yeah, end of the episode.
End of the episode.
Yeah. That's all fags
I don't know, but I joined in.
It's always good to join in. Wherever you see something, join in.
Yes.
No matter what it is.
Even if you don't fully understand what's going on.
Just be enthusiastic and it'll take you a long way.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you for listening, people.
Indeed.
People of the world.
Yes. Spice up your life. Every boy. Every girl.
Oh, thank you for listening, everybody. We hope you've enjoyed it or at least found us tolerable.
Yes.
If you've done neither of those things, then thank you for listening anyway. Yeah, check us out on social media at PolyRedPod on Instagram, at PolyRedPod on Twitter, and email us at polyred@gmail.com. Gmail.com.
Yeah, just to be clear.
Yeah, you got any closing thoughts?
No, not really, other than if you're a user of Apple Podcasts and you fancy giving us a cheeky 5 stars, that'd be great.
Also, just if anyone feels like it, if any of you are super swish with like animation,
oh, yeah,
like flash animation and stuff, someone mentioned to us the other day how funny it'd be if people made like animated scenes for some of our more outrageous like skits, and I thought that was a fucking brilliant idea, so we would love any fan submissions if you have any.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea too, but neither of us are skilled in the art of animation, so
yes, we would love you to show your love by sort of making some funny little videos for us that we can share on our social media. We'll obviously credit you. Right, so anyway, I've been Gifted,
and I've been Tom,
and Hagrid has been Hagrid.
Goodbye.